We're now going to reveal the answer to the quiz question. Please, producer Shell.
The Book of Life.
The Book of Life.
It's the place where we want all of our names, but David didn't want his enemies there.
That's right. This is like the VIP list. To, you know, if your name is there, you're good.
You're in.
Yeah, you're in. All right. We're now going to be having a conversation with our mental health psychologist and expert, Jennifer Skews, and she's going to be sharing with us a little bit more about emotions and feelings, how they work in the brain, and we're going to be talking about some of these feelings and how to relate to them. Jennifer, good morning to you. It's great to have you with us this morning.
Oh, good morning to you and everyone who's listening.
Amazing. Jennifer, I wanted to ask you this question here. So we started talking about emotions. Can you can you tell us a little bit about, like, what are they? Because I know, for example, in the Bible, the emotions are often attributed to either the heart or even to the gut, to the stomach. Have we moved past that and now we believe that emotions are all happening in the brain? What are emotions? Is it a bit of a hard thing to define?
It is. A very good definition I found of emotions is energy in motion. And that is very expressive because emotions have a lot of energy and a lot of power. And this is part of the problem if they're not in balance. So emotions are actually wired into the brain. And that comes, of course, from the genetic side as well as what we learn, the models we have in life, how our, you know, what we're born into. And, of course, the social expectations and culture. Emotions are all prepared that way. But emotions and feelings are separate. Feelings are an expression of the emotion. So the emotion is wired in, and how we express them is through our feelings. And it works in the five senses because the brain has like a video recorder called the amygdala, which records all the ways we feel. And it is like a video. And that's in the five senses. So it's not just a video where sight and sound, like watching a TV. It's actually, you know, touch, sight, sound, taste, and smell. So that means any of the senses can trigger a feeling. Because sometimes we go, what do I feel that way? I might feel sad. I might feel happy. And that's because something either visually or even taste-wise, smells, can trigger the way we feel from when that feeling was wired in or the emotion was wired in. So, and we have a myriad of emotions. Women have a broader range of feelings than men do and the way they're expressed, but we certainly have emotions in common. Yeah, and you're right. In the Bible, it talks about the heart and the mind. So when we talk about emotions, we're talking about both the heart and the mind, and whether we focus in the world and what's going on there or whether we focus spiritually can determine the quality of our emotions.
Very interesting. So I never really paid attention to that difference between emotions and feelings. I kind of thought that both of that they were both one and the same. But from what you're saying here, they're not. So, okay. So why do women have a broader range of emotions? Is this a hormonal thing that makes up for the difference, or because women naturally are more attuned to their emotions? Can you help me to understand a little bit more about that one?
Okay, so how to do with the brain is wired. Women have multiple wiring between left and right brain, so their brain is highly active, and I do believe it's part of the way we were created. Women just seem to have a broader range of feelings, but when you have a look at the being a mother and having to sense the child and understand the child's feelings and help them grow emotionally, that would be, you know, I think one of the reasons why we have women have a broader range. And men's focus is more on like working and focusing the brain. So they have a more focused brain and have a less range of emotions. You know, and a lot of men aren't as aware of their emotions as women are. So that's, it's a bit of gender difference there, which can cause conflict in the relationship. So I don't know what you found, but I know when I communicate with men, they don't always like the feeling word. So if you talk about a specific feeling or a general thing other than I feel, I find they're often more receptive. But that's not always the case.
Ah, that's very interesting. Yes, absolutely. I can definitely vouch for that. Normally they say that men only have, you know, two feelings, right? They're either hungry or angry.
I've heard the same thing. But they do have a broader range. Mm. But also you have to have a look at the culture and the upbringing. Mm-hmm. Because when I was growing up, men weren't allowed to cry. They couldn't show those sensitive feelings. Whereas nowadays, males can be more sensitive and show that sensitivity. Yeah, because we all have that feminine masculine side. And, of course, the feminine is a more expression of our feelings and sensitivity. So it does vary. It's not set in concrete. So the brain, when it's wired in pre-birth, can determine the types of emotions or whether we're more on that masculine or feminine side. It's the same for women.
Interesting.
So it's a range.
And when it comes to thinking about the Bible, you're a Christian psychologist. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, does the Bible offer any guidance in how to navigate like emotions in general, or is this something that it's more the domain of modern research and modern psychological science? What is your view on this, Jennifer?
Well, the Bible warns against those negative worldly emotions like anger, yet anger isn't an issue. I believe we're created with anger and fear to protect us. But in our world, it goes the wrong way, or it is over accentuated, or we become our anger. For example, it says in the Bible, don't go to bed unless you resolve your anger. Don't go to bed with wrath. And then when you do, you have a terrible sleep. You don't do well at all. So there is a lot of wisdom, yet it talks about joy, having the joy of the Lord. And I find that when you walk with the Lord, that something will happen and that joy hits. And it's not something you can easily describe. It's a real upliftment emotionally. So emotions are very, very important. I know I'd rather have joy than anger. They're two contrasts.
Absolutely. And Jennifer, so one of the feelings that I was reflecting on and thinking about recently is the feeling of meaninglessness. And I think that a lot of people are experiencing that. You know, they feel like, what's the meaning of all of this? You know, it just like doesn't really matter. It kind of brings even some apathy to our work, to our life, and you just want like, is this all that there is to life? Have you counseled people that suffered from meaninglessness? What is meaninglessness, and how do you tackle it?
Well, when we're in a state of meaningless, we have no purpose in life, no significance. There's nothing significant. There's no significance or value. So we devalue ourselves, and that's where those emotions, we can get depressed, flat mood. You wake up in the morning and there's no purpose to get up and do things. So that state of meaninglessness, I believe, relates very much to depression, and we have no meaning in life. And then, and I can relate to that when I was growing up, I came through the 60s and 70s, which was that hippie era, and that's where drugs took over, and that was lifted people out of that meaningless state, but it was a negative, as you well know, that actually led you into a more meaningless life over time. So we cannot find that meaning in the world, and this is where I find life needs to be meaningful. So part of counselling is helping people to understand why they feel so meaningless, and it usually goes back historically. They could have had trauma in their life. It's the way their models were. They were apathetic. So there's reasons why we can be in that state, but I can help people to have more meaning in their life so life can become meaningful. So they can have a purpose or significance and have value themselves in the right way. And that's where that spiritual journey comes in. You know, I find when you walk with God, you feel valued because God loves you. Therefore, your life has meanings because you are loved, and you can then have a purpose in life. you know, the Bible is full of purpose. So I find without that, my life was meaningless. You know, in the world, it was constantly chasing rainbows, you know, looking for meaning in all the wrong ways. So I don't know if you can relate to that.
Absolutely. Can. And look, it's very interesting because when you're talking about that God gives us a purpose, it makes me think of the book of Genesis. You know, God created Adam and he just didn't say, hey, okay, do whatever you want. He says, I want you to tend and keep the garden. He gave him a very specific job. And same thing with the prophet Elijah. I'm thinking about the prophet Elijah here. And God, when he was depressed, God said, hey, I have work for you to do. And it's nice to think that God has something that, you know, he's asking us, he has a job for us to do. And when we do these jobs, that brings us a big sense of purpose to our lives, doesn't it?
Yeah. And it's the same today. I find my life has purpose because of, I believe, the work that God has given me to do, to help others, to work with our health and health message and learn. And I find when you follow the Lord in that way and you are prayerful and the Holy Spirit moves you with that meaning in life, every day is a great day because you never know what's going to happen, what God will bring your way. But he'll also give us purpose in the type of work we do. And you don't have to have a degree, a science degree or anything. It's really a matter, it comes back to meaning is attitude. Mm-hmm. So if you have an attitude that the Lord will lead you and guide you through your day and you pray and ask for that help, I find amazing things happening, you know, happen, and it lifts that joy in my life. You know, the day becomes joyful regardless of circumstances. So that's important.
Mm. And Jennifer, but for people that don't have that faith background and they're looking for meaning in other areas, like you create your own meaning or finding meanings in pleasure and enjoyment, or perhaps in something more stoic, like in leaving a legacy or an impact. What are other ways, you know, some ways that people find meaning in, and ultimately, you know, do you think that they do fulfill all of our personal needs for that sense of meaning?
Well, I find focusing outward, not inward, because I look at me and I don't always like me, but I'm learning to be a person I want to be and I like, but that's with God's help. But I find, like, when people come to me and they're depressed and their life is meaningless, we do a review of what used to be meaningful to them and have a look at the sorts of things they liked, and it might be going and volunteering. Mm-hmm. I find that's a great way. And I find people who are depressed who start doing a bit of volunteer work, it lifts their spirit. You know, they start to have some meaning in life because they see how much pleasure people get. And even if you don't, going out with that attitude, like if I'm out shopping and there's someone there who needs a bit of help, I offer it, or just smile and say hello. And you're looking outward and looking at others and go with that attitude of how can I help someone today? And I guarantee that person will appear. You know, that's what I find happens. Mm. So that gives you meaning, gives your life meaning.
That's amazing, because often when we are going through a period of depression, we don't want to do these very things, but by doing them, they actually hold a key to lift us up, isn't it?
Yes. So my role is to help them set a goal, a small goal that is achievable, to be able to, it might be making that phone call to an organization they're interested in to find out there's something they can do. Just doing that one little step can make a difference. Wow. And then, yeah, I can support them through it until they've got that momentum and life has meaning and they've got that energy again and they're enjoying their life.
That's fascinating. And look, Jennifer, thank you so much for, you know, helping us to understand a bit more about the difference between emotions and feelings and the female brain, the male brain, but also talking about this element of meaninglessness versus purpose that God has to offer.